What's happening? Clipper Nation? What's clips in it? I got to work on some more intros. I used to spice it up more.
Hey, you know, it's a more serious season now. We got to focus on championship expectations.
That's true. You're truest of true journalists.
Yeah, exactly.
It's me, William, the opinion uptake.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked on Clippers, part of the Locked on NBA Network. We're bringing that Clippers news 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty consistently.
For sure.
And we got some news for you today. We're going to kick things off with a preview of the Heat versus Clippers game coming up at home today. If you're listening to this, I know amid all the trade expectations or excitement,
yeah,
there are still games to be played.
We still just got to play some regular old basketball. Do you think the trade deadline should get a break like the All-Star break?
It should be like, what do you mean? Like, it would be, oh, there would be like, no,
you know,
games,
you know,
played.
It falls on a Thursday or something.
Dude, the tension would be so wild.
It'd be great
like.
For, yeah, the NBA would get people talking.
But anyways, we're gonna get into that game preview, talk about what we need to do well as what could go wrong, break down some key matchups, and then every single Wednesday we got a Whatcha Say Wednesday for you. Charles puts a poll out on Twitter. This one, another close one.
Another divisive one. This one is about people's anxieties or aspirations for the Clippers trade deadline. It was razor thin on this one.
Yeah, I've been bored overall by the trade deadline.
Yeah, I would say mine is a...
Just today. Like, I thought... I've been waiting for stuff to happen. I'm like...
Yeah, I'd say mine is like a tepid anxiety, kind of.
Yeah.
Because you just
I'm getting Woj alerts about the Knicks. Who cares?
I know.
Anyways, and then we're going to wrap things up with some classic shavings. We just kind of open the drawer, see what's shaking around in Clipper Nation. So stick around for all of that and possibly more coming up right about now.
So we got the Heat versus Clippers.
Yes.
At Staples, 7 o'clock PSA. It is a 7 p.m. game.
Oh, good. I mean, good reminder. I had already forgotten.
It is not 7:30.
So.
Heat are coming in hot.
Heat are coming in hot. One thing I want to note is this is one of our more quality win. This was maybe our most quality win in January.
Yeah.
Right? The Heat have only been defeated 3 times at home this year. One of those times was a Clippers that I think you could go as far as to say was a little shorthanded.
For us, yes. I think it just a little bit.
So coming into this one, so it's looking like Tyler Herro is most likely going to be out. Unclear.
He's got the foot thing.
And Myers Leonard will almost definitely be out.
Mm-hmm.
He was on crutches after the Philadelphia game. I don't see him coming in.
I will note this. No injury report out for the Clippers yet. As of 6:59 p.m. the Tuesday before the game, which is a rarity.
They're a little busy. They got to figure out who they're training, so they're not too worried about your medicals.
But so the Heat are coming off a shit kicking of the 76ers.
Yeah.
They destroyed them. I think this game is going to be a little harder than we expect.
Oh, I definitely think that this is a quality matchup and a quality game. But let's start off with what we need to do well in this one. To win, what do you think?
We have to win the boards in this one.
Yes.
It's number 2 versus number 4 in total rebounds. We only beat them by 3 last time.
Mm-hmm.
But we beat them by 3 with kind of a crazy effort. Trez had 11 boards. Jermichael and Kawhi each had 10. And Zoo had 8. So everyone was rebounding the ball well. And we only won by 3.
Yeah, a big threat.
The rebounds by 3.
Big threat to doing that well will be Bam Adebayo, who has been
playing some good ball.
He just had his 28th double-double on 28th or 29th double-double on the season in that win over Philadelphia. He's going to battle it out for us on that. And with Myers Leonard out, I'm assuming we see Kelly Olynyk again, who did lead their team in rebounds last time with 9.
I'm not an Olynyk fan.
I'm not an Olynyk fan either. That's not
okay, just making sure we're on the same page on that. Playing downhill is going to be key. We kind of saw glimpses of it in the Spurs game when things get going and guys kind of play with some more pace.
Yes.
Sometimes things look a little better.
Yes.
The Heat are 27th ranked in pace. If you're new to this podcast, we don't usually subscribe to pace as a end-all be-all, but if you're on either end of the spectrum this far into the season, I think you can kind of understand.
Definitely.
You know, they're a slow team.
Definitely. I mean, and just in general, it'd be nice to see the team get to these principles that we've been trying to enforce. You know,
basic Doc, transition
not,
play.
Not that you and I have been trying to enforce, yeah. but that Doc has been trying to enforce. Like, you know, he's talked about pace and space multiple times. I mean, if you don't have a true, like a regular, I don't want to say true, because I do think that Bev can be a true facilitator. But
Absolutely.
If you don't have a heavily reliant, regular kind of floor facilitator, I think that the better pace you can play with, the more you can kind of mitigate some of those issues.
Yeah, he wants a lot of guys to pass the ball.
Totally.
So hopefully the ball can be moving. What else do you think we got
to
do?
I'd like to see a shutdown Jimmy early.
Hey, same.
As we were just talking about, like similarly to us, they don't have like a single guard who heavily carries playmaking. A lot of the offense flows through Jimmy, who, I mean, you know, it's probably a stretch to call him a forward, honestly, but that is what he's listed at. That's why he didn't make the All-Star. So,
damn, dude.
Or did he? I don't know. Anyways, he did end up making the All-Star, yeah. but not as a guard,
yeah,
which
yeah.
he plays. Anyways, if you... I'd like to see us be aggressive on him early. I wouldn't even mind if Harrow and Leonard are both out. I think this makes our job a little bit easier. I wouldn't
For
mind
sure.
seeing us maybe even doing some trapping on Jimmy. Just anything to kind of get him out of his rhythm early.
I wonder if we will see the trap in this game. That's
if there's not a lot of shooters, I'd be interested in keeping Jimmy away from driving lanes, not letting him really get others going.
I don't know if I like Jimmy Butler. And the bench has to come up big.
The bench has to come up big again. So in the last matchup, albeit we were a little shorthanded, their starters outscored ours 80-64, even though their starters shot sub 30% from three, which I do not think will happen again.
To be fair, Jerome also started, only played 5 minutes in this game.
Yeah.
So that hurt the starting scores.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's good context.
Yeah, but I mean, it's fair.
But our bench did make up the deficits, outscoring theirs 58-37.
Oh, just saw Winslow's out for this game. He's not going to play in the...
Gotcha.
First, so a little bit easier too.
Yeah.
Sorry. Continue.
No, that's really all I got. What could go wrong?
Kind of a lot of stuff could go wrong. They're 14th in 3-point attempts, but second in percentages from beyond the arc. Mm-hmm. So if we kind of get the maybe we're giving up too many open looks, itis that we tend to get sometimes against mm-hmm. bad teams.
Just missing or not?
Just letting them take shots.
Got you.
Is what I'm saying.
I don't
like. I don't think Deion Waiters will go 4 of 9 again. I don't.
He
think
might
happen.
Not play. I don't think he's appeared in the last 2 or 3 games.
They might just bring him out just to beat us. They shot lower than their season average against us last time. So I mm-hmm. think the fully healthy. I don't think this like will go wrong because I think the fully healthy Clippers. Obviously, it's like. I like that a little bit better than the last time.
Yeah,
but it's just something that I think if it gets hot early. Which like kind of like I did last time, we're gonna have to crawl our way out.
That could definitely be an issue. Just you know, Nolly healing off of that. If they generate a lot of extra looks on the offensive glass, I think that that's gonna be an issue for us.
Damn,
I mean, that's not rocket
fair.
Science, but
yeah.
They had 16 second chance points in our last meetup to our 6.
Don't like that.
So I think that could be a difference maker, even if, you know, we are holding them to a lower percentage. If they're able to get these extra looks, it's going to be difficult for us. Likewise, if the ball is sticking in this one.
Definitely. Yeah, I was just going to say Shamet needs to get shots.
I think it's going to make it a little bit harder for us to score, obviously. Yeah, Shamet is the, you know, according to Doc, the be-all, end-all indicator of how the ball is moving in this last one.
It was
one.
Like last year, too, I feel like.
That oh, totally. Always,
that's like a Doc cliche that he really enjoys.
Totally, totally. In our last game, the ball moved incredibly. We had 33 assists, which is 10 assists more than our season average.
Damn.
Which is around, so we're generally around the 23 number. And Shamet in that one had 15 field goal attempts.
Jesus.
Which is a lot higher than the 4-6 he's had in the last couple of games. So I'd love to see that ball moving.
Man, that's a lot. I would love. What is your ideal shot attempts for Shamet per game? 10?
Nothing. I would say. Yeah, I would say.
Because if he's on the second unit.
9, I would say, is reasonable.
Yeah.
Anything less than 9, it's kind of like.
What, are we
doing? What the hell are you doing?
The free shooters not hitting shots is going to go wrong because someone's going to get trapped on our side of the offensive ball.
You might get trapped.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be PG, Kawhi, or Lou. Those are all trap candidates.
Okay.
The trap is going to happen at some point. Heat hold their opponents to 33% from beyond the arc. In the last game against them, we shot 45%. So a bit of an anomaly.
Yeah.
Bit of an anomaly, an outlier game. Like we just mentioned, Shamet getting shots would be huge. They let guys shoot, though. Their 28 and three-point attempts allowed. They allow 37 a game.
Wow.
So, like, we're going to need... I mean, Bev is going to probably have to hit a couple early to keep him honest.
Definitely.
Stuff like that. What are key matchups do you have?
Key matchups? I'm really interested in this Bam Adebayo versus Zoo and Trez.
Because it's both.
It's the classic Zoo-Trez conundrum. Zoo is obviously a great match for him defensively. He's bigger. He's a solid rim protector. I think that he'll be able to battle Bam on the glass very well. But
might not win it, but he'll be hustling.
Yeah, but if on the same coin, Bam could struggle to contain Trez offensively. Mm. And Trez could lure Bam into some foul trouble.
That would be a things are going swimmingly situation. That would be great.
So it does seem like, I don't know, it is a bit of a conundrum.
No, for sure. It's watching, because that kind of, I mean, the minutes... If you just looked at the minutes total in the last game, it was great between Zoo and Trez.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, it's those weird stretches.
And without Leonard in the lineup, because Leonard, I feel like, is a harder matchup for either one of these guys just because he stretches the floor a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure.
But with a little bit more Olynyk time, I mean, I guess I'd like to see Zoo probably more in that matchup, but...
Probably not gonna.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just want to see.
Just from a size perspective, I don't know.
Yeah, it makes more sense. It's like what teams do to us when Trez plays.
Yeah.
Kawhi versus Jimmy with a question mark. The defensive rotations were weird last time.
Yeah. He did.
Granted.
He did guard Jimmy more than anyone else, though.
Yeah. Held him to 0-4 shooting. So I like it.
Yes.
Butler did not fare as well on Kawhi, allowing Kawhi to hit 4 of 9 shots and get a couple of dimes. Kawhi, I think, wins this battle again.
Yeah.
I think the team...
He's just too damn good. I'm sorry.
I think the team's going to be locked in because of, you know, it's a good team or it's a better team or something like that. Kind of like how they should be playing every team, but, you know, sometimes that's not how it goes. So I think Kawhi has another great game in this one.
I agree. Yeah, I think that Jimmy will really struggle to contain him just because of Kawhi's sheer force.
And if he does, hey, we got Paul George too.
Yeah, we got Paul George too. So I'm not sure how these like backcourt matchups are going to run out. As I said, I don't think Harrow is going to be in this one.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what Sham can do on Duncan Robinson.
Old dunker.
I got to assume this is going to be his assignment. Duncan Robinson's currently averaging 12, 3, and 2 on decent splits. We're talking like 40, 40, 88. With a defensive rating of 106 and an offensive rating of 113.
Damn.
So it would be nice to see Sham continue to play just some competent defense and just kind of prevent Duncan from getting opportunities.
I like that. I like putting kind of the precedent on Sham's defense right there.
I think if you take away that extra guard, like once again, that just helps the situation on guarding Jimmy, like forcing him to have to do more under heavy pressure.
What's your prediction for this game?
And
before we say this, I will say the spread right now is 6.5 in favor of Clippers by 6.5.
Yeah, that's kind of almost dead in where the neighborhood of what I was going to say. I was going to say Clippers
that's gambling.
Do take this one. I'm actually going to go a little there. It's 6.5, yeah. And a hook, you will.
Oh, this guy. You don't even gamble.
I'm going to take the under on that. I think we're looking at like 106 to 112, but I think the Clips end up coming away with a good home win.
So barely the under.
Still the under.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're not saying it's going to be like as close as like a 2-point game or something like that. Is all I'm saying, you know.
No, I think it'll be in the neighborhood of 6 points.
I nailed that Spurs game, by the way.
Yeah, you did.
I would go.
I screwed that one up.
I think we win. I think it's by like 10. I've completely flip-flopped now that I've seen who's kind of going to be out. And I didn't realize that Jimmy Butler has the most assists on their team per game.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. So I like us by like 10, like 119, 109.
Okay. I mean, something I can definitely like that, see it. Right? I can definitely see that.
Coming up after this, we got the What You Say Wednesday poll, which you can vote at on Twitter. I put it out on Tuesday at Locked On Clips. You can always find it. Coming up after this, What You Say Wednesday. Hey, What You Say Wednesday.
What you say?
This one was a bit of a put a spin on this one from our Twitter Tuesday episode. Basically, just copy and paste, if I'm being totally honest. Are you nervous or excited for the Clippers' possible trade deadline activity? Was the question. Thank you to everyone who's answered.
What did the people think?
The people thought, out of 283 results, nervous, 48.8%. Excited gets the win, 51.2%. Honestly, way tighter than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I thought nervous was going to win.
Well,
because I'm in the nervous camp.
You're in the nervous camp.
I didn't vote in this because I put it out. I'm in the nervous camp. Where are you at?
I mean, I guess I would say I'm more excited than nervous. The only thing that makes me nervous, honestly, would be an Andre Drummond deal, which I just don't think this front office makes.
That's what I'm most nervous about, is the Andre Drummond deal. I'm a little concerned there might be some situation where the Knicks do something to help the Lakers out.
Oh, okay. So you're saying, like, just wow. Yeah, I mean, I guess I was thinking just team specific to us. But yeah, if you're talking the whole environment.
Just because Dolan hates us. So like I was thinking about like the Marcus Morris thing, which we're going to talk about the next segment a little bit. And like I was thinking about the Marcus. Here's how I got there. I was thinking about the Marcus Morris move, and I was like, well, Dolan like hates us. You and I mean, specifically.
Oh, yeah,
I mean. Dolan hates the Clippers very publicly. So I don't think a trade happens there. And I think that turns around if we were to inquire or something like that, which I don't know if we would. Apparently, we've kicked the tires on like 12 guys. But then I think they maybe turn around and like help out the team across the hall. Because I mean, they're dickheads.
I love the pettiness level of that move.
It was slow at work today. Being. So yeah, it was slow at work today. So I was kind of letting the brain go crazy.
As a human being, I love the pettiness of that move. I guess I hadn't really thought about that. I mean, it is a good point that you raised, though. There are a couple other teams. I mean, honestly, to me, the Mavericks are a team that is like a trade away from being scary.
So that's where the nervousness, like, I guess I should have made this, just like we have to nervous the Clippers and other teams' activity, too. Because if we stand pat, I'm fine. But if another kind of contendery team makes any kind of move, I'm going to just feel a little bit like, huh.
Yeah.
What's that going to do? You know? Yeah. Also, nothing has happened yet.
Nothing has happened
which
yet.
Which is making me more nervous. And I think if I put this poll out tomorrow, the results would be more nervous because it's Wednesday. And everyone's hanging out because it's the 4th. And there's not, you know, 12 hours left or whatever the hell it's going to be.
Yeah, totally.
Do you like any of the... What makes you excited?
I mean, moves are just exciting to me.
just the whole, yeah.
I love wheeling and dealing, baby.
And with the Clippers, it always is a surprise. So
it always is a surprise. Why is your flashlight on your phone?
Sorry, I was checking the time on the recorder. And it has a shitty screen.
I'm excited because, it's going to come out of nowhere. There's nothing but excitement. And I do honestly feel like we have some assets and things to make a trade happen, which is exciting, you know, for what we need, you know, like, I don't even think that we have to take a big swing. Like Andre Drummond to me is a big swing. And I don't even think that we necessarily need to do that.
Yeah.
I will say too, and I might be in the minority on this, but like, I want to trade this first that we can trade because we won't have another opportunity to trade a first until I'm a very old man.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to trade it.
That's a good call.
If you can do it, if you can do it, like I kind of want to do it.
Without giving up, we kind of touched on this in the last episode. Are you kind of fine with giving up everybody except for like Paul George, Kawhi, Bev, Lou?
Yeah,
That's my
Sham
list. And honestly,
to me is almost nearly an untouchable too. But yeah, I mean, it'd have to be a really good package. I feel like just because he's so young, I mean, we still have him for 2 more years on no money contract. He fits the window, and I just think like he is one of the most valuable assets we have moving forward. There's not a lot of youth on this team.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So I would say that he's up there, and like Zoo is also a piece that you really have to be considerate about moving, just because he's one of the few long-term committed pieces
for such a good deal,
$10 million a year.
It's not talked about enough. I feel like a couple people have kind of go back and forth on Twitter at the Locked On Clips account, if you'd ever like to converse about it. But like, I thought it'd be talked about more. The way that his play is, that the fact that Doc doesn't trust him in the fourth because his offense isn't as good as Trez's. It's just like he seems like a piece. Like as it grows, as the minutes count down until the trade deadline, the more I get kind of like, huh? Like it's making more sense in my head. And I think that's could be just because I'm overthinking it, because it is before the trade deadline or whatever. But he's a movable piece. He's a valuable piece.
I think just like with how team friendly his contract is, and
it fills things if you like, add Mo,
and what his defense already provides. I wasn't sure that Zubats would be a starting level center this year. I mean, just to be perfectly honest,
yeah.
And I was wrong.
Well, I think the listeners know.
and I was wrong. So
what if they just have Zoo chuck up like 6 threes? In the Heat game, just to show off his range before the trade deadline.
I don't want to see that.
To be like, hey, you know what else he does on his fourth quarter hits? So the game's decided, and they're trying to pump up Zoo's trade value, so they just let him take off the dribble threes.
That sounds foolish as hell.
Be a good time. The game's already decided.
You got any other thoughts on this nervousness, excitement?
No. Shout out to there was only one person who said both.
Yeah,
I was a little worried about that. I was worried there was going to be some of those types being like, what if I'm both? I'm like, I don't know. Deal with it. Pick a side. No, thanks for voting. You can vote every Tuesday. We put it up for like 12 hours or something like that. Locked On Clips. I don't even think you need a Twitter to vote in it.
Well, there you have it.
There you have it. Coming up after this, we got shavings / some trade shavings, I guess. Coming up right after this. Hey, trade shavings.
Hello.
It's that time of the season. Should we talk about the way that the news was handled today?
It was definitely a little
it was the Tuesday, the week of the trade deadline.
Yeah, it was a little much. It was a little clickbaity.
In one paragraph, Chris Mannix linked us to Kevin Love, Dwayne Dedman, Tristan Thompson, Andre Iguodala, and Robert Covington.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, they kicked the tires on these guys. That was cool. Then ESPN had a phone alert that was like the most clickbaity, give people heart attack phone alerts, that said, ESPN, NBA trades that could work. Sixers say goodbye to Joel Embiid as he heads the Clippers, plus other deals we want to see. Which at first glance, you have a heart attack at.
Yeah.
You go, oh, Joel Embiid. What the? Their idea is Joel Embiid for Paul George, by the way. Which, no.
I mean, we said that as a joke to one another in a
four days ago.
In a chat, like while Paul George was still injured. But here's the thing about that is, if you look at all that we gave up in the Paul George trade, I don't want to say gave up because Paul George is obviously a quality player, but the asking price was heavy.
Yeah. You would
not
trade
pay that same asking price for Embiid.
How much less?
They could have Gallo in the first.
Oh, but you're keeping Shea. I don't know if they'd do that. But, I mean, that's fair.
They need Gallo. They don't need a guard. Like,
yeah, that's true. They already
in my mind, we could just trade this with Philly.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, like Gallo in the first.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd give up that much for Embiid either. From a completely chaos standpoint, if the Clippers traded Paul George for Embiid, that would be, it'd be such a bad move PR-wise. It'd be so bad PR-wise.
It makes what we gave in it, the, it makes, to me, it makes what we gave up in the Paul George trade not worth it.
For sure. That it won't happen.
No.
Part of me also is hoping right now that Woj is tweeting a bomb about it happening.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, the news was, it was just like, it was so absurd today. Like, it was like, everyone's already so on edge, and there's already so many fake source things out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, if you're on NBA Instagram, Lord have mercy on your soul. It's one of the worst places on earth. If you don't like NBA Twitter, NBA Instagram is 10 times as bad.
Never banned. Don't use Instagram.
But so you have, like, you know, fake accounts on there doing stuff. You obviously have the certain people on Twitter who say they have sources about things. We're not
going to name some names.
We're not going to name. We already know. We know those names. Starts with two A's. That kind of stuff.
Two A's or ITKs.
It just bums me out that ESPN would do like that headline or something. It's just like, oh, we're already dealing with so much shit right now.
Totally.
Like, you're just going fully clickbaity on this. Do you think it's going to be any better on Wednesday or worse? Is there a trade that's going to happen? There was so much chatter earlier this morning.
There was a lot of talk. And I mean, like, so far, the biggest thing that happened is really, like, what? The Luke Kennard deal.
That didn't happen yet?
Yeah.
And then...
And if the if that Rockets, Wolves...
If that goes down, if the
Golden State Warriors thing ends up going through, that'd be pretty huge for all teams involved.
What's Wiggins look like on the Wolves? I mean, on the Wolves, on the Dubs.
Ass.
You're saying ass? I don't know. I literally just don't know, because part of me is like, maybe Steve Kerr could do something.
I mean...
He doesn't have to do anything because he's like the fourth option.
I mean, he
option.
Could be better than Harrison Barnes was on that team, couldn't he?
Could be.
Theoretically?
That's saying something.
Theoretically.
Yeah. That makes the Pac-12 a little more interesting next year.
Or am I pissing in the wind over here?
So Marcus Morris, I think someone's going to fleece the Knicks.
Oh, yeah. So
they don't have a GM.
Steve Mills got fired.
Well, he got fired, but he's like taking a cushy job on their board.
I don't know what
the Knicks are garbage.
Hey, you suck at your job. You want to get a promotion?
So the day before he was fired, he wanted to trade Morris, and they said no. And now that he's moved, Morris is available. Day in the life of being a Knicks fan. I can't even imagine it. This is a Clippers fan. This seems like someone's going to get fleeced, right?
I don't know. I mean... You talked about it in the last segment, but it definitely does seem like moving Morris is a greater possibility. I thought that they wouldn't do it before just because the Knicks, I know disrespect, but like really stupid.
Look, no disrespect. You're dumb, bro.
That's disrespectful. I said no disrespect. But keeping Marcus Morris when you're a team as bad as the Knicks and you could get assets is really dumb.
I think part of me hopes the Clippers just offer like a very low ball offer.
Yeah.
Just to see what happens. Not
I don't really
that
want
him
on the team, but he does make sense.
Yeah.
As a person, I don't want him on the team.
No.
As a player, he maybe makes sense. He's been, though, so ball dominant recently that like he's gonna have to take another gel period to get in with this team.
I know. That's the other grand thing about a trade is I'm like, give us this continuity. It's been great these past couple of days. Final thing in this shavings drawer. Patrick Beverley is returning to the All-Star Skills competition.
Hey.
Way to go, Pat Bev.
Hey.
He won it in 2015.
My dog.
Without completing a pass.
All right.
Which you might think is a necessity for the skills competition, but because of the way the timing is set up, you have like a certain amount of time or attempts at the pass thing. He missed all of them. Did his layup, got down, hit the first three because the final shot's a three, got the dub.
Good for him.
Do you think he wins it again?
Is it wrong to say I don't care?
Yes.
Then
what if he repeats? It'd be two-time skills competition champion Patrick Beverley. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm sorry. I just think that he already has greater achievements.
Well, I'm not saying it's his best achievement. This would be a good time.
Yeah, it would be a good time.
I hope he gets it. It's also in Chicago.
Just a kid from Chicago, you know?
You know, who's, man, someone, Doc, should say that. Oh, man, anything else in the shavings drawer?
I'm shaved up. I'm trimmed.
Hope everyone has a stress-free, almost trade deadline eve. I guess yeah. When they are listening to it, it will be.
Trade deadline eve.
Thursday's episode, we're going to have a recap of that hopeful victory over the Heat. We're going to have Hot Take Thursdays.
Yep. Please
call in. 213-986-7354.
That's 213-986-7354.
Leave your hot take. We'll play it on the show. Try and not curse, please. We've already had someone put their crying baby up to the phone, so that is the bar for absurdity, I would say.
That was a good one.
Will, where can these lovely listeners find us?
You can find us, on Twitter, at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. We are on iTunes. Please, if you haven't already, subscribe. It means the world to us.
We love it.
Leave a rating or review. We'll read it on air. We're also on Spotify. We're on Google Podcasts, if that's still a thing. We're on Deezer. We're on the cloud.
Shout out to Deezer.
Yeah, we're on the cloud. We're on RSS feeds. We're on... I don't know. Binary? I'm not sure.
I don't know. We got a cryptocurrency coming out. We will hang out with you guys tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Update. Appreciate you.